You are listening to a message from ICS Church. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.
Hello, everyone. Welcome once again to ICS Church. We are so glad that you have come to join us today. If it's your first time here, I'm Chad, one of the pastors here at the church. We would love to know where you are watching from, so please write it down in the comments. Let us know where you are watching from or who is watching with you right now. If you're here in the Philippines, which part of the city, which part of the country, rather, and if you're in a different part of the world, what country are you watching from today? We are so glad that you've come to join us today. We are on part two of our new series called Storm Proof. Storm Proof. Today's message, the title is Stay Guarded. Stay Guarded. You know, we go through all kinds of storms in life. And many of us right now around the world are going through a severe storm for the last couple of months because of the pandemic. But regardless of the pandemic, you know, there would be seasons that all of us will go through different storms. We believe here at ICS Church that the God that we follow, Jesus Himself, our Savior, enables us to withstand all kinds of storms and challenges in life. That's what this series is about, and that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, when I was younger and I just started driving, I had an opportunity to drive our family car. And so I really didn't think much about maintenance because my dad would take care of the car. So it didn't become a habit for me to check the gauges, to check, you know, the markers, the tires, the lights, if everything was functioning. If I had somewhere to go and the car was available, you know, I just take it and go. And one of these trips, I had a really interesting experience because while I was on the way and I was the only one driving the car, the indicator started to blink. Now, when that happens, you should apparently pay attention. But as a young driver, I didn't do that. And so I thought, you know what, it's going to be okay. I'm still going to be able to reach my destination. So I kept on moving. I kept driving. And a few minutes, probably about 10 or 15 minutes into it, all of a sudden, the car jolted a couple of times and eventually came to a stop in the middle of the street. I tried to start it a couple of times. It wouldn't budge, wouldn't do anything. So cars were passing by me. They were honking their cars because I was blocking the path. After a while, I had to get out of the car and get help from some folks, right, who were there nearby. And we had to push the car to the side. What happened was, the light that was blinking apparently was called the oil indicator. And when the oil indicator starts to blink, you better look for a gasoline station as soon as possible because that means the oil in the engine has run out. And that's exactly what happened. And when that happens, you know, it's a major, major repair. We had to get the car towed. You couldn't push it to the gas station anymore because it could possibly damage it. It had to be towed to the repair shop and had to stay there for a couple of days so that they could clean out the engine and replace the oil with something new. Lesson learned, right? My ego was pretty much injured on that day. But lesson learned, you've got to check the indicators, make sure that the car is running well and running smoothly. You know, in many ways, in our life, there are things that take place in our life that's hidden, that we cannot see. But there are indicators that if we do not heed to the signs of what we're seeing, it could eventually affect our life and what goes on in our life. And one of the parts of that is our heart. Now, we're not going to talk about the physical heart, but the invisible heart. Here's what Solomon has to say in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Solomon was one of the kings of Israel and a very wise man, the wisest man who ever lived, next only to Jesus. And in one of the thoughts and his sayings, he says this in Proverbs 4:23. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it. Now, some of you are probably already nodding your head because you're like, yes, totally agree with this. Whether we're talking about the physical heart or the invisible heart, it's actually relevant in both cases. Because how our physical heart goes, so goes our body. But here, we're not talking about the physical heart. We're talking about the invisible part of man's makeup, right? The heart as the moral, spiritual, and intellectual center of man. This is the heart that we're talking about. It's the seat of our wills. It's the seat of our affections. It's the seat of the decisions that we make that ultimately dictate the direction of our life. And Solomon, the king, says, if we do not guard it, if we do not take care of it, if we do not make ourselves aware of the indications of this heart, whatever happens in that heart, that's what's going to happen in our life. So how does this heart actually get shaped? This heart is shaped over the course of time. Our life experiences and life circumstances shape the heart of man. Whatever we go through in life contributes to the health and the well-being of our heart. So if we experience good things in our hearts, right? The birth of a baby. The person that you asked to marry, you said yes, right? You know, you got a huge bonus in your workplace. The condition of your heart will be good, right? Because all these things will bring in good, happy, joyful feelings. And so the rest of you will feel the same. But if you experience death, like what some of us recently experienced, if you experience getting retrenched or fired from your job, if all of a sudden, you know, there is a problem in your relationship and it's bringing a strain to you, this also affects your heart. Why? Because this is a life experience. These are circumstances that you are going through, and it doesn't just affect your thoughts. It doesn't just affect, you know, your physiological disposition. It affects ultimately your heart, the seat of your emotions, of your spirit, your intellect. Your moral compass is affected by these things. And whatever happens to that heart ultimately affects the direction and of your life. Here's our thought for today. Where the heart goes, your life follows. Where the heart goes, your life follows. It's basically rephrasing the same statement that King Solomon made. So what do we do? What do we do? We need to guard our hearts. We need to set filters on our hearts. We need to be sure that whatever happens to our hearts is checked and hopefully balanced out, or hopefully even made to become healthy. So what filters do we need to do? You know, what filters should we set in place? These are some of the things that we want to talk about today, because, you know, our heart is affected by all of our experiences. There are experiences that that we can control, and there are things that is outside of our control, right? So what we want to focus on today is the things that we actually have power over, because the things that we do not have power over, we can't control those things. We can't control if sickness would come to us with the pandemic. We can't control how long this pandemic will be. That's outside of our control. We cannot control, you know, what happens to other people around us. If somebody dies, if somebody gets upset with us, we can't control those things. But we can control how we can respond. That is an area that we can control. And so that's what we want to talk about today. External forces we cannot control, but internal forces, those things that's within our capacity to control, that's what we want to look into today. Jesus has something to say about the issues of the heart. And so as Jesus followers, as Christians, this is important. We want to know what he has to say. So go with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke was a doctor, and he wasn't part of the 12 disciples, but he did witness Jesus Christ, and he went to investigate the rest of the first century's claims and teachings about Christ. And so here is his take on Jesus' teaching. In Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 43, he was quoting Jesus in one of Jesus' sermons. He says, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People, do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars." Why? Because these are two different plants. You don't get a fruit from a plant that is not supposed to produce that kind of fruit. I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? So far, so good. Jesus' illustration makes sense. And so here is what he was basically wanting to bring focus on. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Does that make sense? Pretty much, right? I mean, a lot of this is like, man, Jesus, come on, this is just common sense. It seems that way, but a lot of times the common sense or this kind of logical thinking doesn't naturally follow in the way that we respond to the circumstances surrounding us that ultimately affects the condition of our hearts and ultimately the flow of our life. What do you mean, Chad? What are you talking about? Because sometimes we allow external forces to affect us negatively and to dictate to our heart how we are supposed to respond. And as a result, we end up getting sucked into something that we should never have been in the first place. For example, we can't control the weather, right? We can't control the weather. So sometimes, you know, we set a schedule and we say, and here, hypothetically, there is no longer a quarantine anymore, and we plan to go out on a day at the park or at the pool or on the beach. Come on now. I'm imagining that right now. I'm just missing going out in some of those places. So we set up to go into some of these places, but the weather chose not to cooperate. Right now it's monsoon season in the Philippines, so it's probably not the best time to plan to go to the beach. But hey, sometimes we do that anyway. And so we plan it, we reserve it, we book it, we get our gear up, and you know, we set the alarm. The alarm goes off early in the morning, and by the time we go out, it is thundering, it is cats and dogs pouring out rain outside. And pretty much, man, what are we going to do now? And so the rest of the day, we're just, you know, we're moping around, we're sad, we're just extremely anxious and depressed because, you know, I plan to go to the beach today and I couldn't go to the beach, so I'm just going to be angry. I'm not just going to be disappointed with the day. I'm going to get angry with my spouse. I'm going to get angry with the people at home. I'm going to get angry with the delivery guy that comes in with my food. Why? Because I plan to go to the beach. I didn't get to go to the beach, and so I'm just angry. Well, do you have control over the weather? Obviously not. What do we have control over? Our response. But we allowed something that's outside of our control to get inside of us. And so because of this, instead of the storm remaining outside, we allowed the storm to come inside, affecting our heart, our disposition, our thoughts. And because of this, it spills over and then affects everybody else and everything else around us. At the end of the day, we don't feel good. Other people are angry and upset with us. We don't feel any better, and we probably haven't accomplished much. Why? Because we allowed the storm that was outside to get inside of us and affect our disposition, our heart, our thoughts, permeating everything else. What do we have control over? Our response. We have control over our response. Jesus says, out of the abundance of your heart, ultimately, that's how your life is going to be lived out. And so we need to guard what we allow to come into our hearts. And so here are some things that we want to talk about today. How do we maintain a healthy heart? How do we guard what comes in? What kind of filters do we need to set in place so that we're sure to only allow things in our hearts that will enable us to live the kind of life that Jesus desires for us to live? which is a full and abundant life. Jesus said that, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to get a heart checkup. We need to be sure that we check our hearts regularly. If we do this physically, we should do it, right? Symbolically as well with our invisible heart. And you say, okay, Chad, no, I know how to do that. I go to the doctor or I have a BP machine at home to check my own blood pressure. But how do you actually check your invisible heart, the seat of your intellects, your will, all right, your morals? How do you do that? Well, as followers of Jesus, good news is, actually, people of faith all over do this all the time. But as followers of Jesus, what we have at our disposal is, first of all, the Word of God. The Word of God becomes our heart checkup gauge, right? This is the indicator. This helps us gauge if our heart is going towards the red mark, right? Or is it normal where it needs to be? Why? Because in the Word of God and in the teachings of Jesus specifically, it tells us what we are to allow into our hearts. It tells us if there are things that are sinful, if there are things that are not honorable to God, that we are to reject. And by listening to the teachings of Christ, right? The moral standards, the right, the wrong, right? These are the things that will enable us to understand what we're supposed to allow to come into our hearts. So the Word of God and the principles of following Jesus teach us how to live the right kind of life, right? The right way of living, the life of righteousness, which is the way of life that honors God. That's what righteous living is. The Scriptures, the Word of God teaches us that. If we don't spend time to read the Word, if we don't make an effort to try to understand it for ourselves, then we shouldn't wonder, why are all these things happening to our hearts, right? Why am I easily angry? Well, if we're not aware that actually that's not one of the fruits of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, then we're not going to be aware of that. If we're not aware of the fruits of the Spirit, like we're supposed to develop love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control, then we're just going to allow how we feel reflect in our attitudes and our behaviors. But if we understand that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as well to enable us to function in a Christ-like way of thinking, believing, and behaving, then we could say, hey, it's possible, which is the next part of our heart checkup. Heart checkup is recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit and His rulership in our life and allowing the characteristics and the fruits of the Spirit to sink in, to shape our hearts, and to manifest in our lives. That's how we know if we are actually maintaining a healthy heart, if we allow the fruits of the Spirit to develop in our thoughts, in our minds, and manifest in our life through the words that we speak and through the way that we behave. If you're not aware of the fruits of the Spirit, it's in the New Testament part of your Bible, in the book of Galatians, right? Beginning with verse 5, verses 22 all the way to 26. So read that when you can. And you will find there, we will find there what the fruits of the Spirit is, right? So get a checkup. Get into the Word and allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. Secondly, let's identify healthy, unhealthy habits and make changes. There are habits that we develop over time that will be unhealthy. You know, I'm a big fan of fried food, but I realized after being around for more than 4 decades that fried food and my body don't go along that as well as it used to be, right? So I have to willfully lessen my intake of these things because my body doesn't burn, the metabolism, my body doesn't burn as much fats as it used to be. And so it starts to hang on longer than I would want it to hang on to my body, affecting my physiology and my health. In the same way, there are some habits that have become unhealthy sometimes in our invisible heart that we need to be aware of and then make changes, that we need to actually change. What are some of those habits? if we have allowed unhealthy sins to remain in our hearts. You know, sometimes we commit sin and we ignore it. When we ignore sin, it permeates. It stays there. If we don't confess it to the Lord, right, it stays there. It's like anger. You know, when the scriptures talk about anger, it says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Because if you do, you will give the enemy a foothold, right? If you have any unforgiveness, if you have anger, right? It's like giving the devil a foothold in your life. Unconfessed sins, undealt with sins before God, you know, that's what that sin is like. Or maybe there's a habitual sin that's there. Like it's a sin habit that you keep going back to over and over again if you've never actually spent time to deal with it to the Lord. You know, these can cause our hearts to be unhealthy. It can hold us back from experiencing the fullness that of joy that God is wanting for us to experience. So what do we need to do? Well, we should just confess it, right, to God. Is it as easy as that, Pastor Chad? Well, that's what Jesus said. If you confess your sins, God, Jesus, is faithful to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. That's His response. But I do understand that there are certain sins that require kind of a more intense spiritual commitment to God, right? Like the disciples, they went out and they started to try to cast out demon-possessed individuals, just like Jesus showed them and taught them by His example. But they couldn't do it. And so when they came back to Jesus, they said, Jesus, we tried to do as You did. It didn't happen. Why? And Jesus said, you know, there are some sins, there are some issues that need fasting. So it's not just a simple word spoken. No, there are some spiritual disciplines that need to be set in place. There are a season of spiritual battling that needs to set in place so that we could overcome some of these sin issues in our life. So I don't know what it is that's causing you to experience some of these unhealthy habits. Find out, evaluate, get into the Word. Talk to your circle leader. Talk to one of our pastors and find out, hey, you know, I'm struggling with this. What is it? Hey, it might not even be a spiritual thing. It may be a physical thing, right? Because, you know, sometimes our emotional disposition can also, our spiritual disposition can also get affected by our physical habits, our physical health habits. Maybe you're not getting enough sleep. Right? Maybe you're not eating the right kinds of food. Maybe you're not exercising enough. I'm preaching to myself right now, right? Because sometimes when we do these things, when we neglect healthy eating habits, healthy diet, right? Healthy exercise, sufficient sleep, even sufficient water in our bodies, it will affect our heart condition, right? Both physically and, yes, the invisible heart as well. It will affect that disposition of our heart. So hold on. Maybe it's just a matter of getting healthy in terms of physical habits that we need to check. Whatever it is, let's identify it and let's make the change. Let's make the change. Physical changes, spiritual changes. What is it? And then finally, let's feed our hearts with the right things. How do we do that? Right? Just like the doctor would prescribe, you know what, you need to balance your diet, right? Moderation is the key. Here, we need to find out what should we be feeding our hearts. The doors and the windows to the heart is actually our mind, right? Our thought life. Because whatever we think of, eventually, you know, we marinate those thoughts. We dwell on those thoughts. Those thoughts eventually make its way down to our heart. Whatever we think, meditate, dwell upon, makes its way to our heart. So Paul has some tips for us, the follower of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. He says, you know, whatever things that are noble, whatever things that are honorable, whatever things that are praiseworthy, think about such things and the peace of God will come upon you. These are the things that we're supposed to be thinking about. So the question is, what are we feeding our hearts today? If we're feeding our hearts, if you're one of those people who cannot put your smartphone down, who just needs to always be on social media, or you're just like, hey, I just want to get the latest news, and you're just watching the news all the time, can I tell you what? That might be the reason why. Why? Because all we see a lot of times in social media, there's so much, you know, negativity a lot of times in social media, people fighting each other, these videos of people fighting each other, accidents, the news about the deaths, the news about, you know, the negativity. It's mostly bad news. And if that is something that we constantly check over and over again and we gobble it down, it fills our minds and eventually make its way down to our hearts. So we shouldn't wonder if we're constantly exposed to negativity, then pretty much that is what is going to get into our thoughts and into our hearts. And it's going to affect our disposition. It's going to affect our attitude. It's going to affect the way that we talk, the way that we speak, the way that we experience all of life, right? If our own attitudes get in the way, then we've got to check that as well. Are we the kind of person that just, you know, whatever we feel, we just let it out instead of exercising self-control as a fruit of the Spirit, gentleness, kindness, right, and love, then maybe it's an attitude that we need to change. Why is our heart the way that way? If we're feeding it the wrong thoughts, if we're feeding it the wrong ideas, the wrong experiences, you know, if we're focusing on sin, right? If we're gobbling in pornography, if we're gobbling in negativity, if we're gobbling in, you know, thinking about just evil thoughts, hurtful thoughts towards ourselves, towards others, that is what will eventually come out of our life. So Paul says, hey, maybe you need to change. Change, right? Scripture says, a merry heart, a joyful heart doeth good like a medicine, but it requires a willingness to invite God's presence into our heart. Unless the heart is surrendered, first of all, to Jesus, it's going to be hard to experience a healthy heart. So the first thing we need to do for these to take place is to say, Lord God, I want to submit to you my heart. I don't want to try to control it myself, because we don't have the power, right? Our ability is limited. But if we say, Lord God, I'm gonna submit and release the control of my heart to you. Just like Jesus' illustration, I'm gonna allow it to be planted in you instead of in me. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. I'm not gonna let my own heart direct me. I want you to give me a new heart. And Ezekiel says, you know, God can give us a new heart. He can change a heart of stone to make it into a heart of flesh that is responsive to Him, to His voice. If we say, Lord God, I don't want to try to lead my own heart. It's deceitful. It's full of problems. It's full of chaos. And I want you to be the one to lead my heart. So I surrender my heart to you. Replace my heart of stone to a heart of flesh, a heart that is responsive to you, a heart that is yielded to you, a heart that surrenders to you. If we make that decision, then we can begin to experience the goodness of God flowing through our heart. Guided by the Word, filled by the Spirit, right? Attentive to the right kinds of habits, being filled, being fed with praiseworthy, honorable things that bring glory to God. Maybe today, that's what we need to do. You say, well, Chad, you know, my heart's already surrendered. Great. If it is, then we just need to recheck. What are some areas that we need to do a checkup on? If your heart is not yet surrendered today, I want to invite you and encourage you. Hey, surrender that part of your life. Because you know what? God, all His desire, all He's going to do is to make it better. That's what He's going to do. He's not going to crush it. He's not going to destroy it. No, He's going to make it new. He's going to make it new, right? Now, I don't know about you. You know, something new is a good thing, especially when it comes to the issues of the heart. Whatever your heart has gone through, whatever difficulties, whatever storms of life you've gone through, you know, God can heal that heart. God can make that heart new. God can restore and renew that heart so it beats towards Him. It won't beat with a half pulse or with a weak pulse, because it's just been beaten so many times. It's been broken so many times. No, God can repair it. God can heal it. And He can make it new if you will submit it to Him today. So if that's you, would you just join me right now where you are? And in prayer, let's just come to the Lord together. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful today that we can come to You. And we're grateful because You created us and You knitted us, Heavenly Father. You know exactly how we're made. And so if we're going to function in the proper way, Lord, our desire is to function in the way that You designed us to be. And the heart is an important part of the way that You've created us. For those of us, Lord, who've tried to lead our own hearts, to manage our own hearts, and we have been defeated over time, Lord God, forgive us. We're tired. We're weary. But Lord, if Your promise is true that You will rule and reign and You will give us a new heart, that's what our desire is right now. And so we offer our hearts to You. Would You come and heal it? Would You come and make it new? Would You come and remove the pain, restore it to a right health and a right state so that it will beat strong and steady for You, responding to Your desires, responding to Your will and Your purposes, so that, Lord God, nothing outside of us can get in and destroy us. But through a strong heart, where You are Lord, where You are Master, it will beat only for You, and we will allow it to direct our life so that the fullness of the life that You promised will be lived out in our everyday living and breathing. Thank You, Jesus, for this promise today. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your love for us today. This is our prayer, and we submit to Your hearts. We surrender to You our hearts. Make it new. Come and rule as Savior, as Lord. Forgive us of every sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer today and you desire to grow in your walk with Jesus, would you message us right here? Just say, hey, I pray that prayer and I want to grow with Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you where you are so that whatever storms come in your life, you will withstand it and triumph over it despite of all the challenges in life.
We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information about ICS Church, please visit us online at ics.church or like us on facebook.com/ICS Church.